BP.
Hey, BP49, good morning.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast. You got the old man here. You got his co-pilot, Eric, in the house right now. We're just getting things started. Glad you could join us. Thanks for listening. And we're going to take a little stop right now. We're going to jump off. We're going to jump off and share the show for a minute. So enjoy this. Enjoy the theme song. We'll be right back. Good to see you, buddy.
We also have a new one, Wanda.
Wanda, good to see you, buddy. Thanks for coming in. Hit that follow button. Come on back. I want to welcome everybody to the show. It's good to see everybody. Thank you for listening. We just appreciate you all coming in. It's going to be a good day today in the Pacific Northwest. We're coming to you from the Pacific Northwest. We're reaching down into Georgia, where co-pilot Eric Kirk is from. And then we're looking and waiting for Russ to join us. And he is in South Carolina. We got the states all covered. And we're stretching out throughout the world. We can find us in any of the continents on the planet. We are there.
Now that is true.
We are anti-hate, anti-anger. Grab a cup of coffee. Let's chit-chat about anything interesting and non-confrontational. We are family-friendly, safe for work, easy-going, clean podcast on a mission. And that mission is to put a smile on your face, a laugh in your heart, and a skip in your step. Get you ready to get out there and battle life. Because life is waiting for you right outside the door. He's right outside the doorway. As a matter of fact, he's probably hiding behind the bushes. He's going to jump you as soon as you come out. So we try to put you in a good mood and a positive mindset to get out there and whoop, whoop. Some life, but that's what we want to do. Bam! It's good to have everybody here. It's good to see everybody. Eric, are you turning? Are you turning the corner?
Yeah, but I can't share the show until I get stopped.
I'm
stopped at a Chick-fil-A here in a minute.
Ooh! Get me one of those spicy chicken things, man. Give me one of those spicy sandwiches.
Hi, my nieces love their chicken minis.
Oh, man. I like that stuff, too. We got Russ on board, our chief navigator for the day. Russ, coming to us live from South Carolina. It's good to see Russ in the house. Check him out. Lagunia Media. He's got a big media thing starting up, and it's going to be awesome. Shannon in the house.
Hey, Shannon.
It's always good when Shannon shows up. Got some Russ. Are you there? How you doing, buddy?
I'm here. How you doing, my friend?
Oh man, I am cranking. I'm cranking, man. I'm feeling awesome. Drinking me some Black Rifle coffee. I ground up my. I got one bag left. I started to panic because I wasn't getting any notices. I wasn't getting any emails from them or text messages saying that the coffee is coming. And it's like, I'm running out. And then I finally got an email or a text message saying, your coffee's on its way. Don't panic. Thank you. Jeez. About time. Yeah. They were running
every month.
I get three bags of coffee every month from them. And they sent me a little notice, a little postcard in the mail saying, due to this and that and that and this and that and this, we're going to have to do a little rate hike. And I don't care. I just want my coffee, man. Coffee here. Jeez Louise. Woo.
Yeah. I usually buy my Mountain Dews by the case, like 24, you know, the cubes. And so I'm drinking cans. But I went in the store the other day to buy a 20-ounce, and that thing cost me $2.79. I about fell out on the floor, man.
How much do your cases cost you?
$8 for
What? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, yeah, about fell out, man. 20 ounce. I was like, what the? I remember 20 ounce soda, you get it. Well, I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember you get a 20 ounce soda for under $1. Uh-huh. You know, like, and at school, when I went to school, you just put $1 in, you get a whole 20 ounce soda. Now it's almost $3. Like, it's insane.
That's crazy, man. Hi, Tullian. Good to see you. Moonchild, hello. Yeah, that's just crazy stuff right there, man. Hey, sad day. Sad day. I got up this morning, I clicked on, I started looking at the news, and lo and behold, Olivia Newton-John has passed away. And
73
that's
years old.
Sad.
Yep. Great actress and great singer.
Yeah. And you know, I was just I guess she was battling cancer for the last 30 years. She was battling
She had cancer for the first time back in the 90s, unless she was in remission for a certain period and was battling it off and on.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you know, we loved her in Grease, and we loved loved her music.
John Travolta paid her a real nice tribute over social media. You know, he wrote some really nice and sweet words for her, yeah.
Yeah, he was the number one trending person on Twitter yesterday, was John Travolta. Huh. Which is weird. Olivia Newton-John died, and then John Travolta was the number one trending guy. But I think it's because of what he wrote for.
Yeah, I think so, because it was just a nice tribute to her. This is Olivia Newton-John singing one of her biggest hit, Let's Get Physical. And I had debated. I was going to play the original, Eric and Russ, but I found this acoustic version of it. That's, you know, I think a whole lot better than the original version of the song.
Well, I know another signature hit of hers was the song Magic.
Uh-huh.
And then the duet she did with John Travolta in Grease.
Yeah, those songs were hits. Hi, Dennis Baker. Uh-huh. We're just playing a little tribute to Olivia Newton-John right now. She passed away at the age of 73. The other day, and she's going to be greatly missed. She was a British-Australian actress that had been diagnosed with cancer in the early 1990s and twice more in recent years after landing chart-topping numbers on the Billboard's top country hits in the 70s. Newton-John went on to perform number one hits You're the One That I Want and Summer Nights in the classic musical film Grease. That is a great film. You need to see Grease. It's a good movie. Released not long after, her album Totally Hot went platinum, followed quickly by the single Physical, which was regarded as one of the top songs of the 80s, in addition to being one of the earliest music videos of the era. Yeah, her physical her video for Physical, it went crazy. She would go on to win 4 Grammy Awards throughout her music career. Olivia Newton-John. Rest in peace, sweetheart. Rest in peace. She's just got a great voice. Yeah, I don't think in this video right here where she's doing this acoustic version of the song, I don't think she's doing very well here, Eric, because she's sitting down, you know, singing, everybody else is up on their feet, and she really don't look very good. She doesn't look very healthy, but boy, she can still sing. Still sing. I want to get physical. Let's get into physical. Let me hear your body talk. Had a nice range. Olivia Newton-John. Rest in peace. What a great artist. Anyway, man, Eric, it just seems like Eric and Russ, it just seems like we have been losing entertainers like crazy lately.
It seems like it. But there's always that saying, when a major star dies, they go in threes, like, who are the other two?
Oh, I think there's been more. I mean, if you go back and think the last 2 months, it's been more than two. I mean, it just seems like everybody. And then I was looking, and then it dawned on me, all their ages, 73, they're in the late 70s, maybe late 60s, but 70s, 80s. And I'm going, well, geez, they're all the people I grew up with listening and watching and all this and that, man, they're all old. We're old. We're old folk now. I mean, geez, you know, it's like, where am I on that list? You know, get a little nervous walking outside, looking for the angel of death. You know, walk out there and see the Grim Reaper sitting on my porch on the thing. It's like, no, I'm not going outside today. I'm staying inside today. Sorry, you good? You got coffee? You okay? All right, I'll be back later. See ya. Yeah, funny stuff, man. Just weird. Just weird.
It's weird to even think about people like that getting old, though. Like, when you think about iconic people in Hollywood, you think about them in the movie roles they portrayed. And then when somebody's like, hey, you know, John Travolta is like almost 70 years old now, and Olivia Newton-John just died at 73, you're like, holy crap. You know,
like, hey, Jay, baby, good morning.
How did that even happen? You know what I mean?
I know, Jay, baby. I know, Russ. I mean, it's like, because we have this mental picture of them. And it's either from a video we saw or a movie we saw them in, you know, and we have this mental picture in our mind, you know, of what they look like in that. Hey, Glenn, good to see you, buddy. And then all of a sudden they, you know, like this, they pass away. And I was, you know, I saw she passed away at 73. 73? What? You know, I was like, yeah, it was kind of a shock to the system. But, you know, we're all going to go through that shock, though, personally. We're all going to go through that shock personally, because I remember I did it in my life. You go, something about our lives, though, Russ, too, if you think about it, Eric, that we have this this mental picture of ourselves like we were seniors in high school. We're 18, 19 years old. We have this mental picture of ourselves. You know, that's what we always think that we look like. And then one day you wake up. And like me, I woke up one time, I went to the bathroom to get cleaned up to go to work. And it was dark. I turned on the light. I'm standing there looking in the mirror. And it was like, who in the blazes is this old guy looking back at me? You know, it was like, what the French toast? And it's like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, holy moly, man, I'm old. I've gotten old. But I mean, it's just a reality. We have this mentality that we're still stuck, you know, we're still stuck in that mental image of us as being in the, you know, 18, 19 years old. I mean,
I really thought you said about to say you had the same image of you when you was in the 1800s. And I was
like, no, all those pictures seem to have disappeared. Speaking of the 1800s, though, I got to tell you, if I could go back and live in an era, a time, it would be the 1800s. I really would. There's something magical about the 1800s. You know, I mean, we're doing a lot of exploring, a lot of inventions in that were taking place in the 1800s. You know, a lot of growth, and I just find that era fascinating. I really do. But yeah, the problem is, I wouldn't. If I went back like right now, I wouldn't survive with the stuff I know. No, I wouldn't survive.
Yeah, I'd go back probably to the 50s, 1950s. I wouldn't want to go any further back than indoor plumbing was a major thing. You know.
Yeah, there's only certain comforts of modern life you don't want to give up. I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying. It's the
AC is great. I love AC.
Shannon asks, before the industrial age or after? Actually, Shannon, I would like to be right at the cuff of the industrial age, right at the cuff, you know, right when they start going into it. And I tell you what, you know what, I've probably said this before, but you know what, what line of work I would want to be in? I would have wanted to be a blacksmith. I would have wanted to be a blacksmith, you know, a blacksmith and a leather worker. I you know, working leather and that. I just find that stuff fascinating. And I saw this movie a long time ago, and it was about the, you know, back in the 1800s, it was a Western town. This town was just getting started. And this guy comes rolling into the town, and they say, "Hey, what are you doing, stranger?" He goes, "I'm looking for a place to settle down. And, you know, and I'm thinking this might be the place." They go, "Really? Well, what do you do?" He goes, "I'm a blacksmith." And I mean, the town just went crazy because they were going to get a blacksmith. And I started thinking, I go, "You know what? A blacksmith. I mean, that was a pretty important, position to have in a town. I mean, yeah, the work was long, hard, hot, and dirty, but when people needed stuff, like they needed stuff made, who'd they go to? The blacksmith, you know. I mean, I'm thinking,
you'd be Doc Brown. You'd be Doc Brown from Back to the Future 3. You know, he went back in time and became a blacksmith.
I reckon 6.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, Back to the Future 3. I don't think I've ever seen that.
My heart just stopped a little bit.
I remember seeing 1 and I remember seeing 2. I don't think I saw 3. If I did, it wasn't all the way through. It may have been just bits and pieces of it. Well, I'm going to have to.
The third one's the best one, man. Doc Brown falls in love with Claire, and she's huge on Jules Verne, and it goes through the whole Jules Verne thing. And
really?
Really good stuff.
Hi, VAA. Good to have you. Hit that follow button. Come on back. Well, I might have to do that. You know, I might have to check to throw it out now. It deals with the 1800s then?
Oh yeah, the whole movie is about the 1800s, and you get to see Michael J. Fox pull off his best Clint Eastwood impressions.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right, I'm gonna make a note of it. Back to the Future 3. I'm gonna watch that today, Russ. I'm going to try to find it and watch it today, and I'll give you the report tomorrow.
Glenn B. said, most of you stopped after 2. Michael J. Fox was working the camera in 3, quite shaky. That's messed up.
Oh, Glenn, come on, Glenn. That's what I like about having Glenn in the chat room. You know, he kind of makes me want...
He catches you off guard. You start reading it, and you think it's normal.
Yeah, and then he throws a little blooper in there. Yeah, and it always makes me want to do this. Yeah, I gave you the horn there, Glenn. Gave you the horn, buddy. Oh, man, but it's good times, man, good times. Hey, I see J-Baby's in the house, and I want to remind everybody that GlowFlow Denver, go to their webpage, GlowFlow Denver, and check out what they got on sale. They got on sale backpacks because, you know, school's starting. Your kids are getting out there, and your kids are going to school. So go check out GlowFlow Denver. Go to their webpage, and you can now go through their stuff. You can order stuff now online, and if you order more than $80 worth, you get free shipping. So check out GlowFlow Denver on the internet. Yeah,
I think back in the 1800s, I would have been that guy who went around and sold medicine from the back of the wagon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What did they call those guys?
Was it snake oil salesmen?
Snake oil salesmen. Yeah. And it cure you of everything and anything, you know.
I'd be that guy.
How come I think that most of those guys were selling nothing but whiskey based type stuff, you know? You know, I read back then too, the whiskey that people were making and all that. I mean, in the West, you know, it was, nothing was controlled, you know, so these got these guys, you know, stealing up their own whiskeys and that. And I heard stories that they were putting stuff like rattlesnake heads in it and that kind of stuff. I'm going, what the French toast? Yeah. Rattlesnake heads. Oh my gosh. So when you see these movies and the cowboy goes bellying up to the bar and he goes, whiskey, you know, and the old bartender grabs it all, you know, he grabs a bottle and pours him a shot and he takes a drink and he just drinks it like he's drinking tea or water. No, that stuff probably, you know, was on the verge of coming right back up. And it probably made a lot of nasty, ugly faces on people when they drank that stuff.
Yeah, that was the whiskey that when it hit the bar, it kind of burned a little hole into the counter there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like acid. Yeah, it was acid. Yeah. You know, that's one thing I've never done, and I've told Grammy I am going to do it. One of these days, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find me some old bar someplace, and I'm going to walk in there, walk right up to the bar, and go, whiskey. Yeah, I want a whiskey. And just see.
You know, just, yeah, don't do that, because they're going to give you the house whiskey and it's going to be some cheap name like Sam's Whiskey or something. Oh.
Yeah, made with rattlesnake heads.
I used to go with my buddy to the bar. We'd go out every weekend, and uh-huh. we started getting good with the bartenders at this local bar we went to. And they'd take all the old whiskeys, you know, when it got down to like the very bottom of the bottle. Yeah, and they just pour it all into one big bucket, and they let us drink out of that for free, man. I'm telling you. Oh my
god! Shannon says, "Give me a sarsaparilla." Sarsaparilla. Hi, Gaia. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in, sweetie. Sarsaparilla. Give me a sarsaparilla. Yeah,
that's a root beer.
It was like a. It was. I don't know if it was a root beer, but it was a. It was like a carbonated soda or something like that. I don't know. Shannon says yes, it was like a root beer. Yeah. I don't know.
I think I've had sarsaparilla once in my whole life. And when I was in Texas, I went to a Mexican restaurant, and that's what they served as a special, a sarsaparilla.
Uh-huh.
And it was like between a cream soda and a root beer.
I wonder if you can still buy it in the store. If you can still buy sarsaparilla. I bet you can. Do you know you can still buy it in the store, Shannon? I think you can. You know, what you were talking about with that whiskey and that. Oh God, I could just see them doing that, Russ. I could just see bars doing that. Half bottles. Or I can even see them doing it with the glasses. You know, they're clearing tables, and they just throw everything into a big bin and then pour it all into big bottle and that kind. Hi, Mama Bear Tracy. I, you know, that's the stuff we did when I was working at a gas station. That's the stuff we were doing at a gas station with oil. You know, somebody'd come in and want an oil change, so we'd do an oil change on their car, and the you know, we would dump the old oil, but the new oil, you know, that's always a little bit left over in the can, you know, because it coats the sides and that. We'd turn it all upside down and let it drain into this big old collector. And that's what we sold for oil. If somebody come in and say, I need a quart of oil, you know, well, what do you want? They go, we don't care. I don't care. I don't have a lot of money. Okay. Well, we'll give you this, you know, it's just, it's got all the different weights in it and everything, but you know, it was oil. But I see bartenders doing that with whiskey and that. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I really do.
The bar I went to, they poured it in an old wooden mop bucket. It was the weirdest looking thing. But they just dip you a glass down. They dip the glass down in there and hand it to you. And they let us drink it for free, man. But you get maybe two shots in out off of that stuff, dude. And it was time to go home.
Oh, my gosh. You got a little soft on us on your volume there, Russ. Man, what did it taste like, Russ? What did it taste like? How could you describe it? What did it taste like?
Like a batch of Southern Comfort that had been less sitting out in the sun all day. It's the best way I could describe that. It had that fruity taste to it, but yeah, it was horrible.
Southern Comfort. That used to be my drink of choice when I was younger. Southern Comfort. I love this because it was so sweet. It was so sweet to me. Southern Comfort was so sweet. It was, what did they call it? I can't remember. But it was really sweet. It was really sweet, and I drank it. Southern Comfort, yeah. I thought I was being something, too, drinking that straight. Well, yeah, Southern Comfort, it's like a, it's just a real sweet liqueur is all it is. You know, I can't remember. I was going to compare it to something out, like a brandy, maybe? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe like a brandy, but it's really its own thing, man. It's,
it is. Yeah, it's not like a bourbon. Good. It's not a whiskey. You know, it's Southern Comfort. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, hi, PBG.
Like, they apparently, like somewhere, I guess down in Louisiana where Southern Comfort was originated at, they didn't have grain. They just had a bunch of fruit laying around going bad. So uh-huh. They were like, hey, we can make liquor out of this. And Southern Comfort was born. And sometimes I wish it wasn't, man. That stuff was horrible.
Well, is it America's version? Is it the American version of Jägermeister?
Ooh, maybe.
Because Jägermeister sounds kind of like that. I've got a bottle of it here. And Jägermeister to me tastes like cough syrup. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, being a little kid having a sore throat or something. And my mom would reach in there and grab this little brown bottle of something and give me a big tablespoon full of it, you know. And when I first drank Jägermeister, I went, this is cough syrup, you know. Because that's what it tastes like to me.
I avoid any liquor that comes in a big green medicine bottle.
Exactly. Something that you find in the medicine cabinet. Yeah. Russ says Red Bull is cough syrup. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I got to admit, I do like Jägermeister. I really do.
Well, you can take that Jägermeister, mix it with the Red Bull, and have a Jäger bomb.
A Jäger bomb. Yeah, don't they do that in bars? I've heard about that. They do that with bars. Yep. Jäger bombs. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so you take one kind of disgusting taste, mix it with another kind of disgusting taste, and it kind of makes it a really disgusting taste. You know?
Yeah. And after two of them, you just don't care anymore. Yeah, just.
Well, yeah, after two of them, care. You can go ahead and switch over to the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, geez.
The quality beer that it is.
You know, that's one thing I've started doing. It's one thing I've started doing in movies and on television shows. When people, you know, when they're, especially period pieces, when they're drinking beers or whatever, I always try to see what brand are they cooking you, or are they making you, or I mean drinking. And there was one movie, it was supposed to be taking place in the olden days, you know, and these guys sitting there drinking. And you can't see the label real good because of product placements and that kind of stuff. And I saw enough of it, I told Grammy, I go, he's drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, man. I can tell, I've seen enough of that. Enough of that front of that beer. I know it's a Pabst Blue Ribbon. She goes, you're kidding. I go, nope, right there, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, I think they brewed that up. I think they brewed that up here in the Pacific Northwest, Pabst Blue Ribbon, if I'm not mistaken.
It's the beer of choice at most bars. You know, you can go, like what we used to do, we'd go in there and get a shot of Jack Daniels. And then we get a Bud Light because, you know, it's a nice little light beer. And then after that, we'd switch to Pabst Blue Ribbon because they're a dollar a beer. And just drink 20 of those a night, man. Go home feeling great.
Were you dropping your whiskey shots in the beer? Were you making Boilermakers?
Yeah.
Yeah, Boilermakers, man.
When you make a Boilermaker, you know, it don't really matter the brand of the beer. The whiskey kind of takes over the
taste of it. When I was younger, I used to make my Boilermakers with probably a Coors and Wild Turkey. That's what I used to drink. Yeah, I used to drink Wild Turkey. Yeah, that's crazy stuff right there. Crazy stuff. All right. Well,
yeah,
hey, I got this. Yeah, it does. Well, that's one thing we used to say on Thanksgiving. You know, we say, okay, well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Make sure you eat more turkey than you drink turkey. Yeah, okay. Because I grew up and everybody drank Wild Turkey. where I grew up in Prescott, man, I mean, not Prescott. I grew up in Tucson, but I lived another 30 years in Prescott, Arizona. And I mean, it was, I hung out with a group of guys and that's all they drank was Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey. If you didn't drink Wild Turkey, you weren't drinking, you know. Why are you drinking all that weak stuff? You know, you should have, you should be drinking Wild Turkey. Hey, I've got this list of things that are over 50 years old, and we still love them today. Well, according to this article, anyway. Birkenstocks. Birkenstocks, those shoes, they were made in 1964. You know what I'm talking about? Birkenstocks?
They're like $800 shoes, yeah.
Yeah, now they are, yeah. But you used to be able to buy them really cheap, you know. But now, yeah, now they're like... now they're a big hoity-toity shoe. I mean, all the big shots wear them, you know. Yeah, but they were made in 1964. Huh, that's interesting. UPS started in 1953. That's one of our favorites. M&M's, 1941. Still the most popular candy on earth. M&M's. The Ford Mustang.
Too bad they didn't use M&M's in the movie E.T. and they had to go with Reese's Pieces, so... You bet the Hershey's Corporation was laughing all the way to the bank on that one, and the Mars Corporation, which makes M&M's, regrets that to this day.
Yeah, they said they did. Isn't it correct, Eric, to say that Mars, they didn't want them in E.T., right?
Right. Yeah. Yep, and of course, and the sales for the Reese's Pieces really skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
It's a better candy anyway. So.
They felt the best.
I don't know. I Russ, you and I would have a debate on that because I like M&M's, but it's probably because I grew up with M&M's. You know, I grew up with M&M's and I love them. Hi, Filthy Breakfast. Good to see you, buddy. I love M&M's. I really do. And my favorite are the peanut covered M&M's.
Yeah, I feel like I was just lied to by them when they told me it wouldn't melt in my hands. It only melt in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember being a kid always trying that, you know. Won't melt in your hand. And it's like I take a couple and I'm going, how come it's melting in my hand? And my mom would say, because you're
melt
not
in your mouth, not in your hand. But I wonder, like you, old man, if that is one big lie.
It is a lie, Eric. Okay. It is a lie.
Your hands are turned red and green and blue.
I remember complaining to my mom about that. They said it won't melt in my hand. What's going on? And she'd say, because you're not eating them fast enough. Hershey Kisses.
Oh, them are good too, Shannon.
Oh, they are.
The reason why they got called Hershey's Kisses because the machine that makes them makes a kissing sound.
I worked, I had an assistant with me when I was the quality assurance manager at the titanium foundry. And she was hooked on chocolate bad. Her name was Chris. What a sweetheart and smart as a whip. She made my job so much easier because of her knowledge and just being my assistant. She was a great gal. Well, anyway, she loved Hershey Kisses, you know. And one time she came in and I knew she loved them. And I'd go, hey, Chris. Actually, her last name at the time was Scott, so I had to call her Scott. Hey, Scott, you want a kiss? And she turned around and looked at me like, what the French toast? And then I threw her one of those Hershey Kisses. She goes, oh, okay, all right. So that became the going for years. That was the running joke between me and her. You know, we'd always ask each other if they wanted a kiss. Hey, you want a kiss? Yeah, give me a couple of big fat ones. You know, so she'd hand me a bunch of those chocolate kisses and that kind of stuff. Hershey makes a good chocolate. And from what I understand, Hershey started because they were tired of the low quality chocolates in America compared to what they had in Europe, the Belgian chocolates and that kind of stuff. And Hershey goes to Europe and comes back with a recipe and says, man, we're going to make a quality chocolate here in America. And that's when Hershey's was started. Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lindbergh stuff. Chocolate's really good. Anyway, Lindbergh chocolate, the little,
they were going to give European candies a run for their money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got quiet again, Russ. What's going on with your mic, buddy?
Yeah, I'm dealing with kids and having.
Okay, that's right. You're a dad. All right, yeah. That's right. You're a dad. Yeah,
minimal,
I understand.
Minimal, you know, but I am still a dad. Yeah.
I understand. Hey, did you know that Subway started in 1965? Subway currently sells 5,300 sub sandwiches a minute. That's what they claim. 5,300 subs a minute. Subway stores. That is weird. Man,
I don't know if I believe that. You go into a Subway, if you're like, I don't know, man. I used to manage, like I was a store manager for Subway, so it kind of irks me when I go in there. But do you ever see how slow they are at putting the sandwiches together? But all the materials like right there in front of them don't ever change.
Right.
And they still look confused. Like if you order a Subway melt, they're like, it has meat on it, I know. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and it just takes. So I don't know if they do 5,300 a minute. It's probably like.
Grammy and I haven't been to a Subway in over a year. We just stopped going to, because, like Jay Baby say, Subways is gross. I agree. I don't like them anymore. I don't like them. I have never, Daddy Hoff, I have never had a Jimmy John's. I've never had a Jimmy John's sandwich. I have had that Firehouse subs. They make a good sub.
Yeah, it's
but
awesome.
Jimmy Johnson.
And a Firehouse sub is part of the proceeds at each of the local firehouses goes back into the fire department in that area.
Right. That's true. That's what they say. Yeah. And plus, Firehouse has some of the best mac and cheese I've ever had. Firehouse subs. Yeah, they have mac and cheese in there. It's like a six cheese mac and cheese, and it is great. Yeah. JB says she don't do Jimmy John's either. The owner is a big game hunter. Well, there you go. Yeah. Does he use that meat in his Jimmy John sandwiches? Ooh, I don't know. Hi, Neanderthal Gardner. Good to see you.
Like he's a big game hunter, like goes to Africa and kills lions and kind of stuff.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Or he just happened to catch a really big deer, you know.
J-Baby says, don't do it. The mac and cheese at Firehouse Subs is gross. J-Baby, are you gonna shoot down anything and everything I say today? I mean, did you and Grammy talk? Because Grammy had to go to the doctor's early this morning. Did she call you and tell you to that your job now is to be the opposite of everything the old man says? That's what Grammy is. Oh my gosh. Let's see. What else? What else is 50 years or older that we still like? Okay, let's see. Tupperware. Tupperware was made in 1946. The Tupperware parties. I don't know if you guys are old enough, but I remember my mom having Tupperware parties at her house. You know, you'd go in and the salesperson would come in and so, you know, Tupperware parties, you know.
Yeah, I remember.
She says, not true. I've turned down the one thing. Man, so dramatic. That's my middle name, Dramatic. I'm trying to bait her to call in. I'm trying to bait J-Baby to call in and so she can slam the old man while she's on the air. Let's see. Yeah, Tupperware. Well, you know, have you ever wondered what happens to those lost socks? You know, we always talk about people losing socks. You have a pair of socks, you wash them, you always end up with one. You know, what happened to the other sock? Where's the other sock in the laundry? What happened to the other sock? Well, you know what happens to those lost socks, don't you? They become Tupperware lids. And that's why now all of a sudden you have all those Tupperware lids that don't go on anything. Those are the old socks that vanish.
a trick my grandmother Pat taught me about, you know, whenever I buy new pairs of socks to wear, like, you know, with like a permanent marker, like mark numbers on each of them so you can be able to pair them up and they not get mismatched or if you have one go missing, I know you would not know where to find it.
Uh-huh. It's strange, the things. I remember when Grammy and I first got married, Eric, Russ, when we first got married, she was off working or something, and I was working an off shift. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to help her out. I'm going to help her out because I was a bachelor. I was a bachelor for a while. I know how to do stuff. I know how to do the dishes. I know how to do the laundry. And I thought, I'm going to do the laundry for her. Yeah. So I loaded up the laundry machine, dumped all the stuff in there, did a couple of loads of laundry. She comes home. She walks in. She goes, what are you doing? I'm doing the laundry. You needed help, so I'm doing the laundry. She stopped. She looked in the wash machine. She looked in the dryer. And she walks up to me. And the way I tell the story, she gets in my face. She says she didn't. But I swear, she got nose to nose with me. And she goes, don't you ever do the laundry again. It's like, oh, geez. All right. I won't. She goes, did you separate the colors from the whites and all that? I go, nah, just threw everything in the wash machine. I mean, are you really supposed to do that? So we had all kinds of pink clothes and all that kind of stuff. Don't ever. And you know, here it is. We've been married 22 and a half years. And I tested her the other day. I tested her. I go, hey, you want me to help you with the laundry? No, no, stay away from the laundry. So there you go. You know, she still don't want me anywhere near the laundry. Yeah.
She must be very OCD in that way.
If that's an extra term for being bossy, Eric. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's what it is, an extra term for being bossy. My wife, she'll tell me the same thing. She'll be like, oh, I don't need you to do laundry. Don't touch laundry. I'm like, you know I survived before I met you, right? You know, I'll clean the house, and she'd be like, oh, I wish you had to wait until I got home to do this. Now you didn't put stuff up. I'm like, I put stuff up, man. You know, like, and she's like, well, where'd you put this, and where'd you put this? I'm like, over here. And she's like, that's not where it goes. And
then she's
in the night fixing what I did.
She has to stay up late, go back and fix everything. I did that with my kids' mom. When we first moved up here in the Pacific Northwest, we were staying at this apartment complex. They were kind of like townhouses. We're staying there, and you know, she was up working or doing something. And I thought, I'm going to clean the house before she gets home. So I vacuumed up everything, you know, vacuumed and, you know, kind of dusted a little bit and that. And she comes home. She goes, and it's funny that you girls know as soon as you walk in the door that we've done something, you know? And so she walks in, she goes, what'd you do? I go, oh, I cleaned up the living room and that. And I vacuumed and everything. She goes, you vacuumed. I go, yeah. She goes, did you move the sofas and the chairs out of the way and vacuum behind them and all this and that and under them? No. She goes, well, then you didn't vacuum. Get out of here. Go outside, you know. And I didn't dawn on me that that's exactly how she did it. I mean, when she cleans, she cleans. She's moving stuff, getting behind it, getting underneath it. And not me. I bachelor cleaned. I just bachelor cleaned, you know. Just the areas you can see. Don't look under the sofa. Nobody looks under there. Why are you cleaning under there? Yeah.
That's the thing. My mom used to move furniture. And I always wondered, I was like, who walks behind the couch, Mom?
I hear you, Russ. So it's no wonder they kick us out of the house. You know, we only do half-ass jobs. What can I say? What can I say? You know, it's funny, though. It's funny. But if you look at our cars, like my truck, the inside of my truck, spotless. Right. It's spotless. There's nothing laying around. There's no garbage. It's spotless. Look inside Grammy's truck. Holy moly. It looks like you threw a hand grenade inside there, you know? And then I try to clean. I go, I need to clean the inside of your truck. She goes, no, don't. I know where everything's at. Really? Yeah. Okay. All right. Give me $2 and give me $2 and give me $2.48 right now. Bing, bang, boom. She'll hand me $2.48 because she knows where all the change is at. She knows where the ones are at. I'm just amazed. Oh, wow.
Reaching under floorboards, grabbing dimes.
And she knows where it's all. Yeah. Organized chaos, Gaya. That's exactly what it is. She goes, the only thing I want you to do for my truck is put gas in it. Yes, ma'am. You know? And then she's the one that's got to drive to the gas station. She don't let me drive her truck. She won't let me drive her truck. I said, if we're going to, she has a Yukon and it's like, we're going to go downtown. Hi, QP. XPT. That's good to see you. We're going to go downtown. And she goes, well, I go, okay, well, let's take, we call her truck Blue because it's blue. I go, let's take Blue. Let's take Blue downtown. She goes, what? Well, okay. All right. I go, well, I'll drive. And she goes, no, you ain't. You ain't driving my truck. I'll drive my truck. Oh, all right. You know, we're going to run to the casino. It's just a 15-minute road up the highway. Yeah, let's take Blue up there. I'll drive. No, you are not driving my truck. Holy moly, you know. So it's like, all right.
Yeah, I've all right. Been,
and then.
I've been the guy that I have to drive my own car. So, like, my wife would be taking uh-huh. the kids, and I'll be following behind her in my car just because I won't drive with, or ride with my wife.
Well, in all fairness, though, I mean, like, I'll park the I always have a Grammy's vehicle in the garage because I don't want it extremely hot for her to get in a hot vehicle. And then during the winter, I don't want her to fight the cold weather getting out of her truck. So her truck is always in the garage, you know. And sometimes I park my truck, my Tundra, I park it behind her outside, you know, outside the garage door. And so it's like, okay, well, let's go. We're gonna run up. We're gonna go do this or go do some shopping and that. And I go, oh, the truck's behind you. She goes, oh. I go, well, just take the truck and go shopping. No, I am not driving your truck. Like, okay, I mean, you know, you can. No, I'm not. If I don't let you drive my truck, I'm not driving your truck. So I go, well, okay. She's fair. Right down the board. You know, she draws a line in the sand. She stays in it. You know?
Yeah, well, what it is she thinks, I'm sure what it is if she drives your truck, she thinks that maybe you could use that one day and be like, well, you just drove my truck. I should be able to drive Blue. And then she had to, like, relent. So.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so. But you know what? I really don't enjoy driving her truck. The Yukon seats, I don't like them. They kind of make my back hurt when I ride them. So I, you know, and she knows I don't really like driving that Yukon anyway. You know.
Well, you're driving a superior vehicle anyway in the.
I'm here to shout that 2008 Tundra, you know, with the big engine in it and all that stuff, and yeah. Yeah, you got it. You know, when I bought that truck, Russ, in 2008, we're driving it, and I heard this really nice low rumble vehicle coming up behind me and past me, and it was a Tundra. And I go, oh my gosh, listen to how good that sounds. And I'm an old hot rodder. I'm an old hot rodder from the 70s, you know, and love those loud cars, love them and all that stuff. And yeah, Glenn says, mark this down for when Grammy listens and yell at you, old man. That's, see, I was just thinking about that, Glenn. You know, I'm talking all tough and everything, but that's because she's at a doctor's appointment. She's not here. And I'm going to have to tell her, oh, you know, we had problems posting the show. It's not available. Oh, here it is right here. Oh, crap. You know, but I'm an old hot rodder from the 70s. I love this. We used to do street racing up and down Speedway in Tucson. That was our drag strip. We race up and down there. Hi, that guy. And so this truck went by, and Grammy knows that. And I said, you know, boy, I love it. She goes, oh, you like how that sound, huh? I go, yes, I do. I really do. She goes, well, I tell you what. You pick out an exhaust system, and I'll buy it for you. And it's like, no. She goes, I'm serious. It'll be a birthday present for you. So I went, and I I can't even remember the name of the exhaust system I got, one of the top of the line ones. She paid about $1,500 for that exhaust system, and I took it into the Toyota place and had them put it on. Oh man, my truck has one of the sweetest rumbles going down the street now. I mean, it has. I mean, it's been like this for, you know, I think I did that in 2010. I did that. So I've had it like that for 12 years. But I just love my truck. I absolutely love my truck. It's it. And, you know, people, the Toyota places have been trying to buy it off me. They go, hey, bring your truck in. We'll take your truck in as a trade-in because they know how well I've taken care of this truck because they did all the service on it. You know, come on in and do it. I got to tell you what, I will bring my truck in for and trade it straight across for a 2021 Tundra. They go, well, what do you mean by straight across? I go, I'll give you my truck. You give me that truck straight across. Well, you got to pay. No, I don't. Then you don't want my truck. I'm sorry. Then you don't want my truck. I want that new one. I want that brand new one. So that, yeah, they don't want to do it. It's just like people calling up and talking to us about selling our house. We want to buy your house. We can, you know, we want to come and we'll give you top dollar for it right now. Cash. We'll come and buy your house. Cash. Because they want to, I don't know what they want to do. They want to flip them and turn them around. I have no idea. And I got tired of them. And I told the one guy, I says, okay, well, I'll sell you my house. He goes, how much you want for it? I go, $7,500,000. He goes, I can't pay you that for that house. Well, then you don't want it. Stop calling me. Stop calling me. Don't want it.
Right.
Same thing happened with my, I have got a Jimmy. I've got an 87 Jimmy, one of those little two-door square-bodied GMC Jimmys. I got one of those. The body, Russ, the body's in perfect condition. The interior's not bad either, except for the top of the interior, the part that's over your head, it's kind of sagging. I need to have that re-glued up. And I had that sitting outside. And some guy stops. He goes, hey, you, I want to buy that. If you want to sell that Jimmy, I'll buy it from you. I go, really? He goes, yeah. What do you want? I go, well, it's not for sale. He goes, no. Come on. Everything's for sale. Everybody's got to sell. What do you want for that Jimmy? I'll buy you right. I'll buy it right now. Go to the bank, get cash, come back. I go, $8,000. He just about fell down. He goes, I'm sure
somebody that would pay that for that now.
The collectors?
I had an 89 Chevy Blazer that was my dad's when he passed away, and I drove it to the side panels and stuff falling off on it, and I had somebody that bought it for me for over $4,000, and like I said, it had a side panel that fell off on it, and he still bought it for over $4,000. I have a buddy who had a 76 K9 Chevy Blazer with a convertible top, and he sold that thing for over $14,000.
Mm. Yeah, I have no doubt that I could get a good amount of money for this car, because like I said, I think it's the S5. Is it the S5 or S10? S5,
S10,
something like
the
that.
S10 Cheyenne. Well, that's what I have. That was a Chevy.
Well, no, I don't think it. I don't know. It doesn't. That's
it. It had to correlate to whatever GM was selling at the time. That was the. I've always thought GM was the better. I mean, Chevy's good, but I always thought GMC was like, you know, the upgraded version of what Chevy had to offer.
Uh-huh. Well, this thing...
Their namesake of the company, right? GM, GMC?
Yeah. Yeah. This thing still runs. I mean, it runs. The engine's a little tired. It smokes. It's got a V6 in it. The engine's a little tired. It smokes when you fire it up. But it runs. And the four-wheel drive system in it still works. I mean, you know, you can go down into the real low, and go in the high low and the regular. I mean, it all still works. It all still works great. And I've thought about taking that engine in and having them go through it and, you know, see if I just have them rebuild it, you know, new rings, new bearings and that kind of stuff. Because I think it's a sound engine. But what I like about it, Russ, no electronics. There's no computers. There's no all that extra electronic stuff on it. It's just an engine. It's just an engine that uses the old points and the condenser, you know, system, the ignition. And, you know, I mean, it's just perfect. It's just perfect. And, I've always told people the reason I'm not going to get rid of it is because if the sun ever burps really hard and burns out all the electronics in cars and that Jimmy's still going to start because it doesn't have all that stuff, you know.
And I think you would probably be Jester's new best friend from the It's Doomsday podcast that you got a backup vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a backup vehicle. That's for sure. Yeah. While everybody else is trying to get those big old Suburbans fired up and those Escalades, I'll just cruise around them in that little Jimmy. Beep. See you later, people. Hey, Mr. A. See you later. Hey, I was watching this I was looking at this this robot. I mean, have you been paying attention to the robots that are out there? Have you been looking at what these robots? Hey, Stewie Griffin, Stewie Griffin, my favorite guy from Family Guy's here. Hey, Stewie, good to see you. Where's Brian? It's good to see you, man. Oh man, I love Stewie News. Hey, hit that follow button, Stewie, and keep coming back, man. Keep coming back. But have you been paying attention to these robots that people are making? Russ and Eric.
I get kind of conspiracy theory oriented when it comes to AI and robots. I get kind of skittish about them.
I do too. And anybody that has watched the Terminator movies should be. They should be.
Skynet,
exactly.
Or iRobot. Yeah, there's plenty of them out there.
It's getting scary. It's getting scary, you know, and especially you take the robots that they're developing in that, and then you take that on top of that, you take the drones that they're developing or have developed. I mean, I tell you, it's only a matter of time before the Terminator's running around.
Yeah, the scary thing about AI is that when we eventually make it and it gets logged online, it's going to be instantaneously smarter than any human around. And that's a scary thought, you know?
Yeah, but Russ, I question, because how can it be smarter than the person that programmed it? I mean...
Well, as soon as it links to the internet, it'll have access to all the information that's ever been put on the internet, and they'll be able to process it way faster than any human could ever process it. So,
yeah, but it's going to be, yeah, but Russ, it's all going to be full of false information.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to have all these quotes from Abraham Lincoln and all that stuff on. All the stuff it learns off the internet is going to be wrong. It's going to be wrong because I think 75% of the stuff on the internet's wrong anyway. You know, I mean, it's like, really? Come on. I mean, I read this thing.
It's going to log on and automatically have an internal debate about whether the Earth's flat or not.
Yeah, exactly. And if aliens exist and all, yeah, it's going to be in conflict. It's going to be in conflict with itself because of all the stuff it's going to learn, you know? I don't know, Moonchild. I don't know if my kids have gotten smarter than me. Well, I guess maybe they have because they could do computer stuff better than I can. Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay, Moonchild. All right. I'll give you that. But I mean, when it comes to computers and robots and that, I think they're only as smart as the person programming them. That's what my thought is, you know. It's like we go to the casino and we're playing slot machines because we like playing slot machines. And it's like, well, what are your odds of winning in the slot machine? Well, it depends on how the program's been written. Well, no. It's all random. I go, no, it's not random. It can only be random to the point of the person programming it. You know what I'm saying? So nothing in a slot machine is random. It's been programmed. It's had a code written, and the code might be you know it wins one out of every 10,000 spins. You know, that might be the programming and the code that was made for that machine, but even that it's not random. It's still not random. You know, I don't know. See what I'm saying? I don't know.
It has an algorithm programmed in there.
And it
has to adhere to that algorithm the whole time. Like it don't ever change.
Right. I can hardly hear you, Russ, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry. I was talking to kid again.
No, that's okay. But yeah, it sticks to the program. It sticks to the program. And so, see, that's my thing about AI. You know, it's like, you know, AI is going to become so much smarter than man will ever be. And it's like, yeah, but man created the AI. What is AI created? You know, I mean, there's that debate. I saw two scientists actually debating that. And it was really an interesting debate, you know, because they were saying that the AI was going to be far more superior than man and this and that. And the guy goes, yeah. And his whole bottom thing was, yeah, but what has AI invented? What has AI created? AI hasn't created anything. Man created AI. So is it really going to be smarter? I don't know. It's an interesting debate.
Once we create AI, the ability for it to create other things exponentially grows with the knowledge that it's able to obtain. And it's scary to think what they could create if we created AI and they were able to function and then create themselves. It's scary to think what they would create.
I tell you, all I know is when you start seeing robots walking around and they start going, "I'll be back." I mean, that's the time we need to start getting out of there.
Yeah, they're gonna create T-1000.
I'll be back. That, you know, that was I saw that movie when it first came out, and it did kind of shake my tree a little bit. I was thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, that's believable, you know, except for the time travel thing.
The movie that made me think the most out of the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger series that was going on back then was Total Recall. I thought that was a really interesting concept.
Yeah, yeah, especially now that we're talking about getting people up on Mars and all this and that stuff, and, you know, yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a good movie. I didn't care for the remake they did of it with Colin Farrell. I didn't care for that, but the Arnold one it's a classic. Yeah,
there's not many Colin Farrell movies I really like. To be honest, that movie he did, Phone Booth, where it was like 2 hours of him standing in a phone booth.
What a waste of time!
That was ridiculous. Yeah. And when he did that Batman movie just recently where he redid the Penguin, and I think he did a good job in it, but he wasn't any Danny DeVito. You know, Danny DeVito pulled the Penguin off a lot better. And yeah, I just can't think of any Colin Farrell movie that was something I would recommend to anybody else watching.
Yeah, you know, I can't think of any really. I don't go out of my way to see him. I mean, if I'm watching a movie and he's in it, it's like, oh, Colin Farrell's in this. Oh, okay. I mean, that's how I see his movies. It's like almost like on accident, you know?
Right.
Yeah, Danny, that guy's right. I think Danny DeVito nailed the Penguin. Yeah. He was a good Penguin, Danny DeVito.
He had the height going on. They didn't really have to put too much makeup on his face.
No. Yeah. And, you know, Danny DeVito's a good actor. I mean, he can get into his characters. And he's one of those old school actors that can really get into it. Hi, Gina. I don't know if I said hi to you. Hi, Gina. Hi, Mr. A. Good to see you. Best Colin Farrell movie is anyone he is. anyone he's not in. Brian. Oh, Brian. See, Brian's always fishing around for the horn. He loves getting the horn. Yeah.
I think Danny DeVito's best role that he did though is probably his earliest work with Taxi, as the Taxi dispatcher guy.
You know, Taxi was a good show.
Well, he did throw Mama from the train.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did that. Yeah, that was a good movie.
And his twins, right? Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Twins. That twins. You know. But that throw Mama from the train, that actress that played the mama, she is something. She's a good actress. What's her name, Eric? Do you remember?
Ann Ramsey. She was a character actress.
Ann Ramsey. And she also was also like the mom of the bad guys
in the Goonies.
The Goonies. Yeah. Yes. She was a good actress. She was.
Yeah, I love the Goonies. And you guys. Love that stuff.
come on, you guys standing at the fence. What, come on,
I'll tell you what threw me off, speaking of mamas, is the mom from Golden Girls was the youngest one on the freaking show. That threw me off. Like, you know, because she was Dorothy's mom, whatever. But in real life, she was the youngest actress on the whole show.
And, is that right?
Yes. Huh. Yeah, she was a good 10 years younger than Dorothy. What's the girl who played Dorothy?
I don't know. I never really watched that show.
B. Arthur is her name.
Eric might know more about that show than me. I don't know anything about that show.
You never watched the Golden Girls?
Nope. Never watched them.
You need to go watch it, man. It's like the most feel-good TV show ever, dude. It really is, dude. Like, you're feeling down. You feel like, you know, just like a blah day. Throw some Golden Girls on, man. By the end of the day, you'll be singing "Thank You for Being a Friend." And
really? It's a real uplifting show, huh?
It really is. It really is. It's an amazing show. Huh. My mom, when she had cancer, and she got to the point where she really couldn't leave the house, she got stuck on Golden Girls, and I'd go over there to watch her for the day because my sister had to work, whatever. And we Golden Girl marathon it. And yeah, man, amazing show, man.
well, who else was in that? Who else was in that show? Eric, do you know much about Golden Girls?
B. Arthur, Betty White. I can't remember the others, but the one that played Blanche, she played the little Southern hussy. She was awesome, man.
Shannon says Rue McCallahan. Rue McCallahan. She was in the Golden Girls, Shannon?
Which one was she?
I don't know. That's just Shannon. That's a name Shannon threw out there. I guess I will have.
Rue McClanahan was in the Golden Girls. She played Blanche.
She was Blanche. Okay. Yeah, I love Blanche, man. Blanche was. It's funny because, you know, she's supposed to be in her 60s or whatever, and she's over there flaunting her body around like she's 20 years old still, and it's awesome, dude. I love
that. That's what Shannon says. Shannon says she was the hussy. She was the hussy of the show.
Yeah, she was.
I'm going to have to check that out. Mr. A says the mom on Golden Girls was 20 years older than the other actresses. I Googled it. Ain't that something?
I think Mr. A's talking about Estelle Getty, who played Dorothy's mom, Sophie, and Dorothy was played by B. Arthur, because, right. You know, Estelle Getty was really younger than B. Arthur, but they had to put that wig on her to make her appear older, and the oldest of all the Golden Girls was Betty White, who played Rose.
Right, yep.
Well, now you guys are making me, so I'm going to have to look it up. And I know I can find it. I'm sure it's still being played. I'm going to have to look it up and watch some of those now. Yeah, because I love a show that makes you laugh. You know, I love a show that makes you laugh. And it sounds like these will. And plus, I love Betty White. Yeah. Betty White was just, she was just something else. I mean, she always would put a smile on your face no matter what she was doing. Mm-hmm. She was just a well balanced, friendly.
Well, I think, and people like Betty White and B. McClanahan came from an era like when, you know, being politically incorrect was the norm, because back in those days, they had the kind of entertainment that would be instrumental in keeping society in check. Saturday Night Live used to be the same way before it became unwatchable.
Yeah, sure. It is unwatchable
so, now. So did Golden Girls? Did they tackle the hot topics of the day at the time, Eric? Did they were they?
Well, I think there was like one episode where one of them's kid was marrying like an older woman who was divorced with kids, and addressing it in a way to where it was normalized. You know, that would have otherwise been considered taboo. Mm-hmm. I remember one episode.
Yeah, they did. They tackled a few of the things going on and what was going on.
But I saw that in a rerun.
Huh.
I'll tell you, well, I'm definitely had a mom that was older than everybody, but was really younger than everybody. Was Mama's Family with
Vicki Lawrence. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Carol Burnett is really older than her, but Carol Burnett played the daughter in the family in Mama's Family.
You're right, yeah, it blows your mind. Like,
and Vinton, who was played by Ken Berry, you know, he was really older than her in real life, but they had to make Vicki Lawrence look like she was older than them, and made her look like she was older than Betty White.
Right.
I just saw a show, and I can't remember. We watch so much TV, I can't remember what the show was. It's a current show that's running right now. We just watched it, and the last two episodes had Carol Burnett in them. I didn't even know she was still alive. And she was in here.
She's 88 years old.
Oh, it was Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul. She was in the last couple of episodes that I've watched of Better Call Saul. And still doing a knockout job acting. I mean, when I saw her, I turned to Grandma and go, "Is that Carol Burnett?" And she goes, "Yeah, it looks like her. Yeah. Yeah, she's
still
working." Well,
did she do her famous Tarzan yell and her ear tug?
No, I don't think that was written
in
the script.
If she did the Tarzan yell and the ear tug, that's her.
Dude, do you know who also has a famous Tarzan yell? Is my mind just went blank. What's her name? Played in Halloween.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes, Jamie Lee Curtis.
I didn't know that. Movie,
she does in The Man with One Red Shoe with Tom Hanks. And Tom Arnold's in that movie. And she's having an affair with Tom Hanks.
True Lies?
The movie is called The Man with One Red Shoe. Yeah, it's an old Tom Hanks movie. It came out right before Turner and Hooch and right after Joe Versus the Volcano.
Two smashing movies of Tom Hanks.
Right, yeah.
So she does the Tarzan yell in there?
Oh, yeah, and her husband hears it on a tape recorder. And he's like, "That's my wife. That's my wife." And Tom Hanks is like, no, that's not your wife. That's not your wife. And he's like, "No, that's definitely my wife. I recognize the yell."
That is too funny. BP49 Brian says, "You know who has a great Tarzan yell? Tarzan." Good one, Brian. Good one. Yeah. Now, but does she really do that yell, or did they dub it in, though?
No, Russ. She does it. It's awesome.
Does she?
She's trying to convince him to play Tarzan and Jane with her, and she's like, "But I need the Tarzan yell," and she does it, and it's great. It's great.
Well, we just watched the original, the very first Tarzan movie with Johnny Weissmuller in it. I think it was 1932 on Turner Classic Movies. And the commentating after the film was that they actually do not have any proof now. The controversy is, did Johnny Weissmuller really do that yell, or was it somebody else? And so that's the big controversy going on. And I was always under the impression that Johnny Weissmuller did that yell. He was the first one to do that yell. That Tarzan yell. So I don't know.
Yeah, that movie was considered very risque when it first came out.
Yes, it was. And the girl that played Jane was Maureen O'Hara. And I was surprised at that. Maureen O'Hara. Because I remember her from all kinds of Westerns and all that stuff. But yes, it was very risque because it was made before censors. It was made before censoring, and censors cleaned up films. And if you go back and watch it, it would probably have a close to an R rating, I think. I'm not sure because of the way they were dressed.
Well, PG-13 didn't come till the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I think it would probably get a PG-13 rating if they were to put a rating on Tarzan now. But yeah, I mean, it was...
Right.
It kind of, when I watched it, I was kind of going, "Oh my, oh, well, well, hello," you know? Yeah.
Well, and I think you mentioned Maureen O'Hara. Like, I know she'd had like a long hiatus from the movie industry, but one of the last times she came back was so she could do that movie, Only the Lonely, opposite John Candy, back in the early 90s.
I didn't know that. I think the only movie, the oldest, or the most current movie I ever remember seeing her in, Eric, was McClintock with John Wayne. I don't remember seeing her in anything.
That was probably like mid to late 70s before John Wayne died.
Yeah. But she had been around a long time. I mean, if she did McClintock in the 70s and she did Tarzan in the, 1932, that's already 40 years of the industry work right there. And I tell you, I never seen Maureen O'Hara young. I've never seen her young. And all I've seen her is, you know, in the 40s, 50 movies and the 70s and that. But to see her in that Tarzan movie, it was like,
wow. Dropped dead gorgeous she, back then.
She was gorgeous. She was. So she was.
Like,
and
she was like Willie Nelson. She was never young.
Oh, no, no, no. She's young in this, Russ. Oh, okay. She's young in this. And I got to admit, that's one thing I love about these old movies. Grammy and I get hooked on these old movies from the 30s. And it's amazing to see the actors in that, you know, because they're too, you know, we know them from the older films that they're in. And not, I mean, from the newer films that they're in, and we don't recognize them as these young actors. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I can't believe they're that young. Well, yeah, they are. They are. They're that young. Hey, welcome everybody. Thank you for tuning into the show. You got the Old Man's Podcast show here. We're here every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time. 7 a.m. Yeah, Pacific time and 10 a.m. Eastern time. You can download that Podbean app so you can join the live show, listen to the show, and join the live show. Come into the chat room. And so come on in. You can do that and come on in and enjoy the old man and the crew. We got Eric, Russ, and Shonda, and Grammy every now and then. She pops in. Mm-hmm. But thank you for tuning in. Be sure you hit those follow buttons. Hit the follow buttons. And if you're downloading and listening to us later on the downloads, you can also hit the follow buttons there too. And if you're wondering, well, how can I hear older shows of that? Go to our webpage, www.theoldmanspodcast.com. And you can listen to the current show and you can go scroll through episodes and pick out some older shows and listen to them too. I got to apologize to everybody too, because yesterday when we finished the show, I had just the hardest time getting that show to publish. And then the distribution that it goes through Podbean just did not work. It never got distributed right. And so I contacted Podbean. They worked on the issue. They got back to me and said, it was later last night. They got back to me and said the show was ready for downloading on Podbean and on our webpage. So if you missed yesterday's show, which was show number 581, we had Shonda was with us. She was our chief navigator in that show. It was a great show. Shonda is a whip. I mean, she's just as smart as can be. And you would really enjoy that show. So
yeah,
you can go
Shonda,
back now. Shonda.
Speaking of Shonda. I was going to ask maybe if we could get her day switched from Monday to like a Wednesday so she don't come on before me, because she's so intelligent and got so much going on that when I come on, it's like the show goes down like 10 points in the IQ. And
Well, Russ, how do you think I feel? I get her on Monday, you know, and then I get you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then I was like, you know, I mean, how do you guys think I feel? You know, wow, you know. So anyway, you can download those shows through Podbean, or I think the better way to listen to our shows is through the webpage, because you don't have to jump through any hoops. You just go to the webpage, www.theoldmanspodcast.com. You find the episodes you want, you hit play, and you're listening. It's just as easy as it can be right there. And so the Monday's episode is ready to go. I did a test, a little tiny test infocast, I call them. I do a lot of these little infocasts. You know, they're anywhere from 3 to 5, maybe 7 minutes long. And I just put a little information out there for them. And what it is I'm just trying to keep you, our listeners, informed on what's going on in that. And they're a lot of fun. I did one for GoFlow Denver. Me and Jay Baby did one for that. It was fun. I did a one where I called Big Penny, and we've done several for GoFlow Denver, telling you what's going on with them. Me and Grammy did some. I mean, they're just fun. They're just fun. They're just a little short podcast you can listen to, and they're a lot of they're a blast. You can find those on our webpage too. So, but anyway, that's available. And today, I'm hoping I don't have any problems with it today.
Well, and BP wanted to know how you get a bigger following on Twitter from your podcast.
Well, let me let them tell you. Here it is.
Hey, I found this new service on Twitter called Podcast Overlord. Is your podcast stuck in a Twitter fog? Overlord Services can help. From retweeting your tweets to a more enhanced service where they will create daily posts for you. Overlord Services can burn a hole through that fog and shine a light on whatever it is you want the world to see. Check out overlordshop.com/store. That's overlordshop.com/store. Check them out today. See what they can do for you.
There you go. Podcast Overlord. And two, plus, you know, how you been feeling in the mornings when you're getting up? You know, have you been kind of feeling kind of off lately? Is your head spinning? You're kind of stuck in a rut. You just can't seem to get cleared from all that dark, nasty energy you got. You know, well, maybe your energy is out of alignment. Maybe you got too much negative energy floating around you. Contact holyshift.com and talk to Poetic. See what she can do to help you. That's holyshift.com. holeshift.com. You can find her on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and see what she can do. She offers an alternative and holistic service to help clear out any and all negative energy that could be holding you back. And she can help you out today. Get signed up to her Facebook page and get her little readings from cards and horoscopes and that kind of stuff. And check her out. Let her help you out of the rut. The rut. We all get in ruts, you know. That is holyshift.com. Yeah, thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. Oh, man.
Oh, that guy.
Well, geez. I do have one other business I want to bring to your attention. It's called Five Hearts Apparel and Crafts. They've got a web page that you can go to. They've got a Facebook page you can go to, Five Hearts Apparel and Crafts. And you can check out their Facebook page. You can join their group and see what this business has to offer. I mean, they offer apparel, men's and women's apparel. They offer all kinds of crafts in that. And I went to their web page, which is www.fiveheartsapparelandcraftsllc. I know that's quite a bit. godaddysites.com. I know that's an awful lot, but if you go to their Facebook page, you can hit the link to their webpage. The Halloween's coming up. I mean, I hate to admit it, but Halloween's coming up. They've got some of the nicest, coolest Halloween stuff available to purchase on their website. I mean, they got shirts, they got all kinds of stuff, and you need to go check them out because it's just a fun store. And you can order that stuff online. So that's Five Hearts Apparel and Crafts, LLC. Check them out today. Yeah, man, that's it. I think I've got my advertising done. Did I forget anybody? Brian, did I forget anybody? Brian always up here.
Hey, I know you would probably push Black Rifle Coffee. And, of course, every Friday on the Old Man's Podcast Show, let's not forget that's our Promote Your Podcast Day and Promote Your Small Business Day. And coming very soon, we will be having a contest announcement coming up, which me and the old man will keep you posted on.
Yeah, Eric's been working. Eric's working on a contest. I'm not going to tell you any more about it because it's his ball. He's running with it, and he's coming up with a contest, and it's going to be a blast. So stay tuned. Eric's going to let us more about it. And I heard from Grammy the other day. She goes, oh, I'm going to need to have to look at a calendar so I can have another Cooking in Grammy's Kitchen show coming up. So we got that's going to come up. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then on September 2nd, we're going to have our 600th show of the Old Man's Podcast. And you can come and join us here in that. Hey, I see a lot of new names, a lot of new faces. I appreciate all you guys coming in. Hit that follow button and come on back. I mean, we're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. We're live. We're live.
Doing it?
And just come on in and check it.
You and Eric doing an interview soon on a podcast?
Oh, that's right. Eric and I are going on the Amber May podcast.
Next week.
on the 16th. Yeah. Now, I don't know if she's going to record it and play it later. I think that's what she's going to do. But she's going to interview me and Eric about the Old Man's Podcast and about how we have a vision for helping other podcasters and helping businesses. We like promoting that stuff. And she wants to talk to us about our vision of promoting other people's podcasts and businesses. So we're going to be on there doing that. And it should be fun. She said, I think she was in the show yesterday, Eric. And she mentioned that, yes, she's still excited about seeing that happen. So as far as I know, we are still on for the 16th. So that'll be a fun show of Amber May, because it's a breakaway from what she normally does. She's very, she has controversial subjects and she goes into and gets in deep into all the news and the hot topics and all that. So this is kind of a breakaway for her, you know, doing something that's going to be a little offbeat. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, Alter Bug, good to see you. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody. Hey, I mean, it's just thank everybody for coming in, and it's been a blast. Russ, you are the man. You are a blast, brother. Thank you for coming on and being our chief navigator today. And we look forward to seeing you definitely Thursday. But, you know, you got an open invitation. You can come in Monday and Friday, too. We're trying to get Shannon. Shonda to do that. Trying to get Shannon to come into the show and talk, too. Well, she's right there. Come on, Shannon. You know you want to call in. I get those two names mixed up because they're so close. Shannon, Shonda. I'm going to have to change your guys' names. That's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah, I'm
just going to start calling her the professor. Yeah. And speaking of the professor, if you go to our webpage, be sure you check out her new blog that she posted, because she is the lead blog writer for the Old Man's Podcast. And she posted a new blog, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And of always, of course, as always, our co-pilot, Eric Kirk. Eric, we appreciate you coming on, and we are looking forward to that contest that you're going to cook up for us. So, yeah. All right. So, Russ, is there any final words you want to share with everybody before we get out of here?
Yeah, just remember, take a second for yourself every day, and you know, take a deep breath and realize mental health is very important, and just let the stress roll away. Tomorrow's a better day.
Amen. Amen. And before I forget, I just found out that you were in the service. You were in the military. So I want to personally thank you, Russ, for your service. I want to thank you. Thank you, brother, for doing that. Eric, you want to tell anybody about some podcasts that are coming up?
Well, it's Tuesday. I know Russ will probably be on a little bit later, and I'm sure Milk Dog might surprise us with some impromptu shows this afternoon, so be on the lookout for that. And then a host of other friends who'll be doing shows. Of course, Wednesday will probably be a very busy day for Podbean, because I presume Ralph might do his morning show, and then us, and then you'll still have like Frankie D in the afternoon and Salt Blue Sister, and then when you go into primetime, you'll have Slacker 82 Alpha and the Potluck Podcast at 7 p.m., and then the Wednesday edition of the Beans and Weenie Show at 8 p.m., and a couple more friends who'll be coming up a little bit later this week, and then be on the lookout for all new seasons of the Slightly Serious Show and Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea and a host of other friends.
Right, and don't forget Van Life Pantry, Shonda's podcast, Outside of Normal, Russ's Holy Shift, The Gaia Connection, don't forget that, Amber May podcast, Just Another Day in Paradise, Opinionated Lushes, they just had their 500th following, I think, on YouTube. 500 views on YouTube. That's Opinionated Lushes. What an excellent thing. Check them out on YouTube. And Underground Shuffle. And also from Twitter, we got our friends from Twitter. We've got It's a Scream Podcast, Cost of Crime Podcast, I Could Get Into This Podcast, Who Takes the Socks Off Podcast, Eggs and Keg Sports Show Podcast, Two Guys, Two Things Podcast, and many, many more. There are tons of podcasts out there. I'm sure you could find one. And Alan Sanders, I always overlook Alan Sanders. He has a great podcast. He's news-oriented. And check him out. Alan Sanders, just a great podcaster right there. Anyway, everybody, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here tomorrow for our Wednesday show. And it's all been good. I appreciate everybody coming out. and sharing their time with us. Thank you for making this your go-to podcast in the mornings. We're here for you. We try to put a smile on your face, a laugh in your heart, and a skip in your step to get you out the door, facing life head on with a good attitude and a good heart. Ah, man. Good days. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Love you. God bless you. See you around Podbean.
Again, Eric, thanks. Russ, thanks. Everybody in the chat room, thank you. And we will catch you later. Later, Gators.
Later.